Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be looking at the book of Joshua.
From a secular perspective.
Right, from a secular perspective.
Exactly.
And we're actually looking at an excerpt of a larger blog post called...
Yes, it's called Critical Reflections on the Book of Joshua, History, Morality, and Science.
Okay.
And it's from a blog called The Bible Explained from a Secular and Skeptical Perspective.
And that was posted on November 8th, 2024.
That's right.
So maybe you are listening to this because you're interested in the historicity of the book, or maybe you're just kind of curious about it from a non-religious angle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating book no matter how you approach it.
It is. And so to set the stage for our listeners who may not be as familiar with the book of Joshua, where does it fit into the Bible as a whole?
So it comes right after the first five books of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
The Pentateuch.
Exactly, the Pentateuch. And so Joshua picks up right where Deuteronomy leaves off.
Okay.
With the Israelites about to enter the promised land, Canaan.
Led by Joshua?
Yes, Joshua, Moses' successor.
And this is where we get all those epic stories of conquest.
Yeah, those big battles, the walls of Jericho falling down.
But our source points out that there's not really a lot of archaeological evidence to support these stories.
Right, and that's one of the things that makes it so interesting to look at from a historical perspective.
So what kind of archaeological evidence would we be looking for?
Well, archaeologists would look for things like pottery shards, foundations of buildings, any signs of destruction that might line up with the events described in the Bible.
Okay, so they'd be looking for evidence of, like, battles or sieges.
Exactly. And what's interesting is that in some cases, the evidence just isn't there or it doesn't match up with the traditional timeline.
So, like with Jericho.
Exactly. The fall of Jericho is one of the most famous stories, Joshua. You know, the Israelites march around the city, they blow their trumpets, the walls come tumbling down.
It's a very dramatic story.
It is. But when archaeologists excavated Jericho, they didn't really find the kind of widespread destruction you'd expect from a massive battle, especially not during the time period the Bible suggests.
So the timeline's off.
Yeah. Traditionally, the fall of Jericho is dated to around 1400 BCE, but some archaeological evidence suggests that Jericho might have been uninhabited during that time.
So that's a pretty big discrepancy.
It is. It creates a real puzzle for historians and archaeologists.
It's like a real-life mystery.
Yeah, you could say that. And it's not just Jericho. Our source also mentions the city of Ai, which is another example where the biblical narrative and the archaeological findings don't seem to add up.
Interesting. So we have these stories in the Bible that may not have happened exactly as they're written.
Well, it's not necessarily that they didn't happen at all, but it does raise questions about the literal historicity of these accounts.
Right. And it makes you wonder how we should interpret these stories then.
That's a key question, and it's something we'll be exploring further as we continue our look at the book of Joshua from a secular perspective.
This is getting really interesting. I'm already hooked. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
It really makes you think about how these stories have been passed down over time and how our understanding of them has evolved.
Definitely. And, you know, one of the things that's always struck me about the book of Joshua is the amount of violence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's pretty hard to ignore.
I mean, we're talking about God-ordained warfare,
mm-hmm.
the destruction of entire cities, men, women, children.
It's definitely something that a lot of people struggle with.
Right, because how do you reconcile that kind of violence with the idea of a loving God?
Yeah, that's a big question, and it's something that theologians have been debating for centuries.
It's interesting, though, to think about how people throughout history have grappled with these stories.
Right, how they've tried to make sense of them in light of their own beliefs and values.
And our source also brings up another challenging aspect of the book, the whole sun standing still miracle.
Oh, yeah, that's in Joshua 10.1-12.14, where Joshua is in the middle of a battle and he commands the sun to stop in the sky so he has more daylight to defeat his enemies.
And of course, from a scientific perspective, that's just not possible.
Right. We know that the earth rotates around the sun and the sun doesn't just stop in the sky for anyone.
So how do we make sense of that story then?
Well, our source suggests that maybe instead of taking it as a literal historical account, we can look at it more symbolically or mythologically.
Okay, so what might that story be trying to convey then?
It could be about the power of faith or the idea that God is on the side of the Israelites.
Right, and it's important to remember that these texts were written thousands of years ago by people who had a very different understanding of the world.
Exactly, their cosmology, their understanding of science and history, it was all very different from ours.
So we have to try to see through their eyes.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to approach these texts with a critical eye and consider the historical context in which they were written.
But for someone listening who might be thinking, okay, this is all interesting, but why should I, a person living in the 21st century care about the Book of Joshua, especially if I'm not approaching it from a religious perspective?
That's a great question. And I think there are a few reasons why engaging with a text like Joshua can be valuable even for a secular audience.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, firstly, these stories, whether we realize it or not, have had a huge influence on Western culture.
In what way?
They've shaped our art, our literature, our music, even our legal systems. Understanding where those influences come from can give us a richer appreciation for our own cultural heritage.
So it's like understanding the roots of our culture, even if we don't necessarily agree with all the beliefs and practices that shaped it.
Exactly.
Okay. What else?
Well, these stories also offer a glimpse into the minds of people who lived thousands of years ago. They tell us about their hopes, their fears, their values, their struggles. It's a way of connecting with our shared human experience, despite the vast differences in time and culture.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. So even though the world has changed so much, there are still these fundamental human experiences that connect us across time.
Absolutely. And then there's the intellectual challenge of engaging with these texts critically.
How so?
It forces us to question our own assumptions, to grapple with complex ideas, to think outside the box. It's a mental workout in a way.
Like a gym for your brain.
Exactly. And ultimately, that's what makes exploring a text like Joshua so rewarding. It's about expanding our understanding of history, culture, and ultimately ourselves.
I love that. So it's not just about the Book of Joshua itself, but about what it can teach us about the world and our place in it.
Precisely. And that's why, even from a secular perspective, there's so much value in diving into these ancient texts and uncovering the layers of meaning within them.
Okay, so we talk about a lot of interesting stuff about the Book of Joshua, from the historicity to the morality.
Yeah.
And even touching on those parts that, clash with our modern scientific understanding.
Right. And remember, our source actually recommends this book on critical thinking by Dr. Bo Bennett. It's really helpful for unpacking complex texts like this one.
Oh, that's a good reminder. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So when we take a step back, though, and look at the big picture, what's the takeaway here for our listeners?
I think the biggest thing is that it's okay to question, to be skeptical, to go beyond just reading the text at face value.
Right, to really dig in and think for yourself.
Exactly. And our source argues that approaching the Book of Joshua from a secular standpoint can actually enhance our understanding.
How so?
Well, it allows us to see the text as a product of its time, reflecting the beliefs and values and even the political realities of the ancient world.
So we're not taking it as like the literal word of God, but as a historical document.
Right. It's a human document written by people who were trying to make sense of their world just like we are today.
That makes a lot of sense. So for someone listening who's maybe interested in exploring the Book of Joshua further, what advice would you give them?
I'd say approach it with an open mind. Be willing to question, and most importantly, bring your curiosity.
Don't be afraid to dig into those challenging parts.
Exactly. Embrace the complexity, and remember, there's no one right way to interpret these ancient texts.
It's about the journey of exploration.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a fascinating discussion. I feel like I have a whole new perspective on the Book of Joshua.
Me too. It's always amazing what you can learn when you start asking questions.
And to our listeners, we encourage you to keep exploring these topics. Keep asking those tough questions and keep learning. And hey, maybe this will even inspire you to read the Book of Joshua for yourself.
That's a great idea. And until next time, keep searching, keep questioning, and keep learning.